Oh man, it's so nice to go walking now that the weather has shifted. Just listen to the sound of the. Oh no, wait. Really listen. 'Cause that bird is reminding me that it's time for our annual rate and review campaign on the podcast. If you've rated us before, rate us again. There are more places to rate us than just Apple Podcasts, like Spotify. Hey, Podchaser's a good one. Screenshot your rating or review and send it over. We'll pass you a little something, even if it's just a thank you. And just like these birds, we'll think you're fly.
Y'all heard?
Hey, everybody.
This is Y'all Heard, a podcast where me, Marissa Phillips,
and me, Pete Phillips,
and we're not related.
And this is a show for curious people who want to hear about a variety of topics out there in the world, from
food
to fetishes,
celebrities
to unsung heroes, from things you think you know to
things you didn't know you needed to know.
I'm not ready for this weather.
I'm not ready for this weather either, Marissa.
They're going to say jelly. You're going to make a Destiny's Child reference. Are you familiar of the new Zendaya movie called Challengers?
No.
Oh my god, wait. You don't even know it exists at all?
Nope. I feel like I've seen the name, but you know me.
Okay.
I'm into a different level of film.
Well, this is a really missed opportunity. I can't believe I didn't tell you to do Pete Ruins a movie. I guess because I figured everyone already knew about it already. But anyway, it's like an adult sexy drama where Zendaya is in a love triangle with two tennis players.
Oh, no? Okay. No. Something about tennis, right?
Okay. Yeah. I didn't watch the movie yet. I'm going to see it. But I watched the reviews. And the review, do you know who Trent Reznor is? The guy from Nine Inch Nails?
Yeah. Did he do a score?
He did a score?
Yeah.
And all of the reviews are just everyone going, this movie is weird techno in such odd places. This movie is just slow motion and techno. And I am so excited to watch this movie. This movie now just seems like so much more excited than I ever thought. So I don't know. I think you should watch the trailer, but also watch the trailer knowing that the movie is just filled with techno that Trent Reznor made. And yeah, I'm really excited. Maybe I'll have to... When I do Marissa Reviews, it's for a show, but I think I'm going to have to do Marissa Reviews Challengers at some point, because yeah. This might be the movie of the summer. I feel like it's going to be unintentionally funny all of the time. That's not how I'm doing, but that's all I care about? Is that the right way to answer that?
Speaking of kids and adult movies.
Okay.
That Jenna Ortega, Martin Freeman one. I think that's on Netflix now.
Wait. Is that the one where, like, she's a student seducing her creative writing teacher?
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to love that movie because I love, what's his name? Wasn't his name Martin Friedman?
Yeah.
But I hate Jenna Ortega so much.
Uh-huh. And I feel like it's troublesome that in one thing she portrays a young teenager who's not supposed to be sexy. And then she plays someone in this movie who's put, like, I feel like for society's sake, we gotta put this girl on a track and, like, you know.
I will say society generally finds her sexy, though. Would you not agree?
Well, she's got big old eyeballs.
Is that.
That's all you need.
I don't know whether that goes with or against it. If I haven't brought it up before, I can't stand Jenna Ortega. Because I'm not saying she's a bad actress, but I'm sorry, the way everyone made fun of Kristen Stewart for being one note, which I disagree, mm-hmm. Jenna Ortega is incredibly one note. She's just a bitchy, morose girl all of the time. And like, okay, cool. Like, everyone's just trying to shoehorn her in everything. I don't know. She's annoying. Also, she's full of herself. I remember she threw the Wednesday writers under the bus and basically said like some of their writing like was shitty, so she just didn't say what they wrote, and like she knew the characters better. It was this very pretentious interview, And I was talking to our listener, Michael Stinson, and I was like, she sounds like an asshole. And he's like, she's 20-something. I give her a pass. I don't give you a pass just because you're 20.
Yeah, anyone. No, I mean, you can be an asshole and still be...
Yeah. Also, like...
Although I'm interested to know what that window is. Because then sometimes you get, somebody's so old that you're going to give them a pass. So where's the period where you don't get a pass?
You know what? I was in the doctor's office the other day, and there was a man, and I felt bad. He probably had dementia or something, but he kept saying, fuck everyone, and like, fuck you, and fuck this doctor's office. This fucking doctor's office doesn't even know my name. And his wife was like, can you stop? And he was like, fuck you. And I was like... well, that's a very unfortunate situation for his wife. And it's sad. But also, I'm not like, okay. Like, that's also not... Like, I don't know. I don't know where the lines are drawn or how you deal with that when people lose their faculties. But I would say... I don't want anyone to be an asshole unless you're 5. And if you're an asshole and you're 5, I don't like you. But yeah. I guess you get a pass because you're 5. But I don't like anyone who's an asshole. I don't care how old they are.
That is a hot That's take.
My take. And babies are selfish assholes, which is why I don't like babies.
Listener mail. Well, you know who's not an asshole?
Alex?
Yeah. And we got a voicemail from him. And this one's for you, Marissa.
Hi, this is Alex. And I am calling in with unsolicited advice and perspective. So on a recent episode, Marissa talked about, I think it was a previous job, she'd had the opportunity to do, like, community moderation, but didn't want to do that because of the subjectivity involved and wasn't sure that, like, she would be good at or, like, be able to make the decision. Said, no, thank you. And then I think the deal is that, like, somebody else got promoted and, you know, she had trouble finding opportunities for career growth in that position and seems to be feeling some sense of regret about having not taken that chance. And I'd say, like, you don't need to feel regret about that. I mean, like, maybe, you know, if you want to, you can think about maybe I should have taken this career risk and done something that was outside my comfort zone and, you know, maybe worked against my personality type and would have been stressful and maybe would have helped me get ahead. But you're already thinking about that. So you don't need me to tell you to think about that. You need me to tell you that you don't need to think about that if you don't want to. For me, I was recently a professor for, like, a long time. And that's what my plan had been for, like, my entire adult life. That once I was a senior in college, I decided that I wanted to teach engineering. And so I went to graduate school. And everything that I did along the way was to get me there. And one of the things that led me into getting out of it is, you know, you would think that the job of a professor is to teach people, you know, like, useful information, but you actually don't get evaluated on whether what you're teaching is useful. I find that kind of grating. And then on the other hand, like, a lot of your job is to make sure that a number representing the subjective experiences of, like, 18 to 22-year-olds and the opinions of, like, chairs and deans, make sure that those numbers are high. Do whatever it takes to get those approval numbers high. Well, like, that's, like, super, super subjective. I found that really stressful to deal with, and it was distracting me from actually helping educate people, you know? My numbers were not always great, but in the end, they were really good. I got really good at getting those numbers up, and it wasn't making me happy, and so I quit. Now I'm in a job where, well, there's, like, a different kind of subjectivity, but I feel like I have a better sense of what I'm doing. It's not what I was planning on doing, but it's fun. The labor conditions are a lot better in every way. I guess, like, I feel like in this job, I really get to play to my strengths. And in my previous job, my weaknesses were, like, just always in my face, and I got really tired of it. So the stuff you turned down sounds like if it wasn't for you, it really would have stressed you out a lot. It would have been costing you after hours. So no regrets. Go find something else to do. And it sounds like you've done that, and that's great. All right. Thanks. Bye.
Thanks, Alex. That was really nice. And actually, yeah, you brought up a good point, like, I should be focusing on getting a job that plays to my strengths, not puts my weaknesses at the forefront. And if I did that moderation thing, I would just be stressed every second because that does not fit with my personality type. So I would just feel like I was doing a horrible job at it every single day and freaking out because I did it for like 4 days And I continuously told management at the end of the day, I don't think I'm doing good. I'm sorry. Are you sure you want me in this position? And they just, like, kept me there. And then I was just like, I'm sorry. I can't do this. But, yeah, I think I'm, like, hardwired through my parents, which I know, you know, there was good thought behind it. But I'm just hardwired to, like, believe that, like, if there's an opportunity for a promotion, I'm supposed to do it. Mm-hmm. But, like, I don't. In every job, I don't want to be promoted. So, I'm sorry. I don't mean in every single job I don't want to be promoted.
But the
I
other
mean,
thing is that I feel like a lot of times you do well at your job and then they offer you promotion, but the promotion isn't doing your job anymore.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, then why do you want me to do this?
That, you know what? You hit the nail on the head 100%. Because I am really fixated on doing a good job at my job. But then, yeah, when they're like, oh, you do really good at writing, do you want to manage this department? What is, there's no correlation, bitch.
Yeah.
Like, no? Anyway, so
I
yeah,
feel
thank
like,
you,
oh,
Alex.
You're really good at writing, do you want to be an editor is even a stretch, because it's like, that's yeah. two different jobs.
But even if it was that, I could do that. But yeah, like, if I'm good at writing and editing, no, I don't want to be in charge of people. One is totally behind the scenes, and one is, like, I'm telling everyone what to do. So, yeah. Thank you. I sometimes just need to be reminded that, like, I need to break free from my conditioning. So, yeah, thanks. Thanks as always, Alex.
Icebreaker.
Marissa, would you like an icebreaker today?
What if I was like, no?
Then we could skip it.
No, okay. Give me an icebreaker.
This one's kind of complicated. You know I'm really bad at asking questions. If you could get a pass from authorities to enforce, like, penalties for an injustice,
mm-hmm.
what injustice would you want to fight back against?
Well, do I want to go deep, or do I want to just go the very first thing that popped into my head, which is, I want to find everyone who doesn't use their turn signal.
Damn it, that's mine too.
And it was funny, like, I don't even drive currently, but it infuriates me because I'm like, that's not even that hard to do. Like,
it's
what
right
are you
there by your hand.
Doing?
They put it there for a reason.
I know. And every time I see someone not doing it, I want to just scream. And I don't know if it's in Harrisburg or just that's where I live now, so I notice it. But I feel like nobody in Harrisburg uses their fucking turn signal. And it infuriates me. I also, I won't go too deep. I don't want to point fingers, but I'm gonna. My husband uses his turn signal, but way later than I think he should. And then that's
mom
a whole
uses hers
thing.
Way before I think she should.
Yeah, I might be. Yeah, I will say I might be. What's the word? Guilty of that at times. But yeah, I don't know why I'm so fixated. I think I'm fixated on it. Not because it's like the biggest issue with driving. Honestly, I feel like speeding's worse. But because I find it so simple. Such a simple issue to fix.
Yeah. It's
and
almost
so,
just like,
yeah.
You know, it's rude and it's also dangerous. Because
yeah.
if you don't use the turn signal, then people might run into you.
Exactly. So I'm sorry, I really did steal your answer.
Well, you know my secondary one, which would be, I would love to, and this is ironic given today's topic, I would like to issue maybe just tickets. Maybe more. Maybe like
okay.
if you get X number of tickets, then you have to go to jail.
Okay.
But I would like to issue some sort of consequence for police officers that break the law with minor infractions.
I like that. Okay, yeah, I do. I like that a lot.
I think that I understand why they do it, but I think if I'm not allowed to let my car idle outside of Turkey Hill while I go inside for a drink or something, then a cop shouldn't be able to do it either.
Yeah,
and
okay.
If I'm not allowed to park in a handicapped spot, then I don't think a cop should be able to either.
Yeah. And man, when Pete said, like, I know his second one. Oh, I know. Because I'll... P-
Pete lets his voice be heard with no fear.
Yeah, I didn't even
know. Or at least he did
then.
At the time. Yeah, we were, yeah, you didn't drink back then. Pete has said a thing or two. I don't even know, did they ever actually hear you? But you definitely yelled things at God.
No, but the one time I went down for promotion, a live band was playing on the square at 5 a.m.
What?
And they plugged in the speakers and everything, but they didn't have to for the newscast that they were doing for the morning news. And, I went down in my pajamas and I complained to the police who were standing there and they told me that I wasn't important.
They said that, like, verbatim?
That the event brings a lot of people to the city. And so I didn't have a right to complain about it. Eventually, what's kind of crazy is that at 6:30, they stopped with the speakers, but they still did the live broadcast because the guys were playing music. But, like, you didn't need to be plugged into the speakers that were going to shake the walls of my home.
5 o'clock is really early. You're not the only person who lives there. How could you have been the only person bothered by that?
And I was like,
really weird.
I live here. I also bring a lot to the city.
When I was in high school, and we were all too young and stupid to know about noise ordinances, me and my friends played music in an amp at the highest level imaginable, and I think you could hear our music into the next housing development.
Yeah, it sounds
and
like it.
I don't know, the cops didn't come, like a guy in charge of noise ordinances came. It was very interesting. Anyway, continue.
So if we were to able to enforce those things, and by the way, I'm pretty sure I've shared it with you, but just in case you forget, Marissa, my solution for people not using their turn signals is to make bumper stickers that say, I don't know how to use my turn signal, and follow them to where they're going and then put the bumper sticker on their car. But anyway.
I like that. Yeah, okay. I like that.
If we were to pursue those things, we would be considered vigilantes.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been listening to a podcast about Batman, and they talk about vigilantes. As you also know and have cursed me for, I've been watching The Green Arrow, Arrow.
Yeah, I mean, my brother watched it too, but I thought only my brother watched it.
And he's a vigilante, not your brother, but the Arrow.
Yeah, okay.
And so I just got to thinking about vigilantes. Are there any real vigilantes out there?
Wait, weren't, what the fuck were they called? God, not Charlie's Angels, I'll tell
nope,
you that.
Don't worry, I'm going to get there.
Oh, okay.
They're
okay,
coming
okay.
up soon.
Okay, cool.
So it took me in a different place than I expected. So Wikipedia defines a real-life superhero as a person who dresses up in a superhero costume or mask in order to perform community service, such as neighborhood watch, or in some cases, vigilantism.
I don't know if I believe that you have to wear a costume, but okay, whatever.
Now, when we think of vigilantism, what comes to mind faster than, like, Batman or Robin Hood or Kevin Bacon in that remake of Death Wish?
The people who I thought were named Charlie's Angels, even though I know that's not their name.
Vigilantes are a symbol of what we cannot do because of proper society. They put hidden desires into action by seeking justice on the streets, like Marissa and I used to do. The motivation for several superheroes is vengeance and justice. And while some can maintain the status quo, others operate far outside of it. I'm looking at you, Frank Castle, a.k.a. The Punisher.
Oh, yeah. God, you know your comics way better than me.
Despite circumventing the law, many of these vigilantes are considered heroes. Like The Punisher. It's like, when you see people wearing Punisher merch, you're kind of like, I question your morals.
I feel like anyone these days wearing Punisher merch is anti. That's just a deception. Yesterday I saw someone with a shirt that said, anti-vax, conservative, meat-eating gun owner. And I feel like he would probably punish his shirt.
Yeah, yeah. Probably has a tattoo under the shirt.
Yeah, yeah, across his chest.
Suffice it to say, real-life superheroes must be pretty badass, right?
I don't know if I would. It depends what their beliefs are.
Early examples of real-life superhero behavior are reported from the 1990s. One example is Mexico City's Super Barrio Gomez, who, in 1997, donned red tights and a red and yellow wrestler's mask to organize labor rallies, protest, and file petitions to prevent families from being evicted.
That's awesome. Does that mean he wasn't wearing a shirt?
Maybe.
Okay. He said everything but a shirt.
Yeah, and shoes. A real-life superhero community, in the sense of an online subculture, began to develop in the mid-2000s. Now, that guy, Super Barrio Gomez, is a far cry from Bernie Goetz, the guy who shot 4 black men on the subway, which earned him the name Subway Vigilante.
See, that's why I get scared. They're not all badass. Some of them are horrible people, because it depends what they think fighting for justice is.
Yes.
Like, when he might be fighting for the justice of white supremacists.
So when I think of vigilantes, I also think of, Marissa, the Guardian Angels.
Thank you! I knew they weren't called the Charlie's Angels, but I couldn't think of what else came before angels. And in my mind, feel free to correct me if my idea is totally wrong, but in my mind, they were cool. But maybe they
should
did bad.
Be Charlie's Angels, and they should be Charlie Bronson's Angels.
I like that. So please, I hope they're not bad. Are you going to tell me bad things about them, or are they cool like I think they are in my mind?
Well, I think it comes down to another it depends.
Okay.
These are men and women who wear red berets and I think red jackets too, and they patrol areas on foot, scaring off, just by being present, or handling crime without the sanction of police. Sometimes, though, they work with police, but they don't represent the police. They are directed, quote, if their own or other citizens' lives or health are endangered, they are allowed to do whatever is lawful and necessary.
Okay.
But what bugs me about them is that they get to decide what's right or wrong. It's troubling because values vary from person to person. The Guardian Angels, for example, felt allegiance to their founder in February 2021. When they shoved a man to the sidewalk and put him in a headlock during a live interview on Hannity.
What? Why?
Curtis Sliwa, the founder of the Guardian Angels, stated that the man was a migrant. He also stated that the man had been caught shoplifting. At this point in time, Sliwa was running for mayor of New York City.
Wait, I'm sorry. What does the fact that he was a migrant have to do with anything?
Because...
Saying, like, he deserved to be shoved because he was a migrant?
Pretty much, yeah. He was trying to, stop sanctuary cities.
Cool.
The NYPD later said that the man was actually from the Bronx, and they did not provide any evidence that the man was shoplifting. Sliwa told, I love this because this is a guy that you know. Like, all of us know someone like this in our life. Sliwa, of course, did not apologize. Instead, he told the Associated Press he believed the man was a migrant because he spoke Spanish.
Oh, fuck him. Okay. No, fuck that. Okay.
And he had been encountered with other Spanish speakers while they were on patrol.
What a dumb fuck. This is the guy who started the Guardian Angels?
He's the one who started it, yeah. But again, there are different chapters across the country, and I think that, yes, you can probably meet somebody who runs a local chapter who's not a douche.
Yeah, I think the only reason why I think I've heard good things that they've done, not Curtis Sliwa, just the Guardian Angels as a whole, but that's gross. Oh, what a dumb fuck. I hope someone pushes him to the ground, because I shouldn't say that.
Here is Sliwot from a DVD extra from the movie The Watchmen, where they had a short documentary about real-life superheroes and vigilantism. Sliwot's point is quickly countered by the editor of The Watchmen. So that's the second voice that you hear.
Okay.
You have to do something other than just call 911. To me, that is so weak. That is basically waving the flag of surrender, telling the criminals, if the police aren't around, you own this part of town.
If they take it upon themselves, instead of what they should do is call 911 and say, I think I'm observing a domestic disturbance. Can the police come? And the police are just held to a higher standard of responsibility and accountability, which these individuals aren't.
So say what you will about the police being held to a higher standard.
Yeah, I don't know.
The police have connections that can get them off on crimes, whereas vigilantes don't.
Also, I will say, I really enjoy... that was Curtis Sliwa?
Yeah.
I mean, he sucks. He sucks.
But you really like his voice.
Yeah, I really like his accent. He's so, like, New York.
Later in the same documentary, we meet Tothayan and Ecliptico, who are real-life superheroes, and they explain why they do what they do.
Oh, that's not their names. That's their superhero names?
Yes. Except
Tothayan's...
Tothayan's, like, named David Tothayan. Like, Tothayan is his last name.
Okay.
But gotcha. Ecliptico is not the other guy's last name.
Okay.
My primary mission in life is to protect the innocent and defenseless. And especially at this time in this world, with all the evil going on, all the wars going on, all the crime going on, that's why there's superheroes popping up everywhere. We're standing up for what we believe in.
Superheroes are popping up everywhere.
I was going to say, that's debatable. I've never seen one.
The city is now a cesspool of violence and needs expunged. There's so many people that turn a blind eye to what goes on around them. It makes me sick. And that's exactly why I'm doing what I'm doing.
Okay.
Yeah, that's kind of what I had too.
What is that guy doing exactly?
They patrol the streets. The second guy wears a mask. Tothayan doesn't wear a mask. And a lot of people, because of this appearance, have said that he is Ecliptico's sidekick, which I don't know if that's appreciated.
Yeah, that's controversial.
But regardless of the seriousness of vigilantes, and maybe the lack of seriousness of Tothayan and Ecliptico, we're going to look at a few, only a few, because there are way too many real-life superheroes and decide if they are legit heroes. I'm going to show you...
Yeah.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Marissa, I'm going to show you pictures of people. Before we move on, this is a picture of Tothayan and Ecliptico.
Okay. Who's the one talking? Ecliptico looks scary.
Ecliptico was talking in the second half, and his voice was
Ecliptico,
a little...
Oh, Ecliptico. Not Ecliptico.
Oh,
right?
I just made a typo.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Ecliptico. My secret power is to fade away, like in my sentences. To trail off.
He looks kind of scary.
And Tothayan, you can't see from this angle, but he's got a ponytail.
Oh, I don't like that.
So, I think if we were to describe Tothayan, he's wearing what looks like a black long-sleeve t-shirt, and he has his personal logo on it. Ecliptico, though, he's got, like, a big old jacket going on, he's got a mask, all sorts of stuff. He does look scary.
Yeah, like, ever since, like, that instant, that horrible event where that guy just, I don't know, started shooting people in that Batman movie viewing, I find, like, people dressed with, like, weird face wear and masks in public daunting. So he should be careful.
Yeah. Unfortunately, you're going to notice a very similar visual consistency among the people that I show you.
And I feel bad because I understand what they're doing. It's just, it's unfortunate that like events in the United States have like soured certain things. But yeah, continue.
I would much rather have no vigilantes and no theater shootings.
Yeah.
So the first one we're going to take a look at is Shadow Hair. And again, I'm going to show you a picture. I think I might have two. Nope. Okay. So.
Wait a second. Oh. See, okay. You know what?
Wait a second. Don't look for a minute.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, how did I get these all out of?
I'm not even looking, but I just want to say, like, I feel like if you gave me this vigilante presentation maybe like 10, 20 years ago, I would think it was cooler. But because so many people are into, like, building their own right-wing militias these days,
yeah,
I already feel like every vigilante possibly just is scary. Like, I don't, even though I love superheroes, I doubt I could look at all these vigilantes without thinking that they're trying to, like, enforce constitutional law according to their interpretation.
And a lot of the places where you get the gear for this are like places that would probably source a militia or, you know, a paramilitary group of some sort.
Yeah, I'm allowed to look now, right? Because this first person is terrifying. I would think that they.
What makes them so terrifying?
They just look like really militarized, and they have spikes coming out of their arms, not in a punk rock way, but in a, like, I'm going to slash someone way.
Yeah, in a way that. Yeah, if you were backhanded by them and their arm hit your face, then your face would be cut up.
They look like they like to beat up protesters. Like, I don't know. I don't like it.
I was wrong. This is not Shadow Hair. This is Boots. Boots.
Oh, see, even that name. That makes me think he's a white supremacist.
Well, this is interesting. And again, no.
Because. Okay, go ahead. I just wanted to explain why, because even though not all skinheads are racist, I know that 100%. Someone who, I don't know, I just equate Boots with skinheads, and
I'm
anyone
sorry,
who
stop talking about Boots, because I had the wrong guy again.
Oh, okay.
I think. Yeah, I did. Okay. So, Marissa.
Uh-huh.
With all the stuff we just said about Boots, this is actually not Boots. This is Shadow Vision. Boots is the next one up. I apologize.
I do like Shadow Vision's name.
Yeah. And he stepped out of the shadows this week to issue a... Well, not this week, but from when I copied this. Now, this is another thing I really... So, Shadow Vision. Looking at him, looking at how scary he looks. Where do you think he would patrol?
Like in what city?
Or even a type of city. Like, what, like, level of city? You know, New York is a big city. L.A. is a big city. Wilkes-Barre's a small crap town.
I feel like he could get away with that in New York because there's so much weird shit happening in New York. Yeah. Is he in New York?
So he stepped out of the shadows to issue a public challenge to the serial stabber who is blamed for 3 deaths and 1 violent attack in Little Rock, Arkansas.
Oh, you know what? That was actually, I either thought you're going to do this in a big city so that no one is fazed by you, or you're probably really intense in a small southern town. Honestly, that was my second guess.
I know that the serial stabber is keeping an eye on my page here. It's AI, not an eye, but you know.
Okay.
Shadow Vision wrote on Facebook. So this is a threat. To you, when I find you, I will show you what I do to serial killers. I am hunting you right now.
You're not allowed to kill him, bro. Like, I don't... What are you... Is this guy a murderer also? But he thinks he's on the right side?
He's got a more complicated story than you would think, Marissa. Shadow Vision came here, Little Rock, from Scotland 8 years ago.
Whoa.
He made his home in North Little Rock because he felt a calling. He says, I heard everybody here was losing hope, so I decided to head out here and start helping.
See,
again, like, this is just, like, I'm, like, so torn because, like, if they are truly, like, if their heart is in the right place, I kind of admire that. But our country's just, like, really scary.
Yeah.
Like, so I just, like, it's really hard to know, like, well, I don't know.
I'll also tell you to make you feel better about all this. Most of these people have, like, dead Facebook pages.
Okay.
Like, they're not around anymore. Some of them officially retired. Some of them passed the torch. But most of them are just not around anymore.
Okay.
So either the villains won or they just got tired. All right.
I mean, also, you shouldn't be on Facebook. You think Spider-Man had a Facebook page?
How the hell are you supposed to get people your message out there, Marissa?
I mean, by doing good deeds. Spider-Man, did he go around sending out messages?
Next up is Boots. This is Boots.
Ooh, yeah, he also looks like he's gonna put a bomb somewhere.
Boots, a masked vigilante who patrols San Francisco's Fisherman's Wharf. With the intention...
I kinda like that he has a specific place like that.
Yeah. With the intention of frightening potential thieves. The man... he walks around the neighborhood in a ski mask and brandishes a non-lethal weapon that looks like a gun. Looking to scare off car thieves.
How did nobody kill him yet?
He told the station that he captured multiple videos of car break-ins in the neighborhood and he decided to take action. In 2023, he was arrested for carrying an imitation gun.
Okay, good. I mean, this is, like, annoying, because, again, if their heart's in the right place, I admire that, but, like, people of color wearing way less to obscure their faces
yes.
have been arrested or killed just because they look shady. Like I said, this guy looks like he's going to put a pipe bomb somewhere.
Yeah, he's like, dressed... The theme that I was telling Marissa to keep an eye out for is the all-black theme. And this particular guy, yeah, he's wearing a mask. He's got on sunglasses. He's got a hoodie. He's got a backpack. Like, he does look like he's going to drop the backpack someplace and it's going to explode.
Yeah, 100%.
So I guess we're learning there's a fine line.
Yeah. I would think he was going to kill me if I saw... If I was going into a building and he was going into a building behind me wearing that, I would have thought I was going to die that day.
So you would not go to him if you were in trouble?
No! Absolutely not.
All right, this is Shadow Hair.
Oh, I would go to him. I would go to him.
Shadow Hair wears a mask and a cape and patrols Milford, Ohio, which is apparently outside of Cincinnati.
God bless this guy.
He's armed with tasers, pepper spray, and handcuffs.
I don't know if he should have a taser. I want my own taser,
and
but
a
I'm
chain
not
wallet.
Like. I'm not like considering myself an arbiter of justice.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, why is it called Shadow Hair? But is that like a hair, like a rabbit on his shirt?
Yeah, it looks like the Punisher emblem meets a hair. Except the funny part, listener, is that we all know that rabbits' ears don't have bones in them.
Yeah.
But in order to make the skull work, he has to put bones there.
You know what? No. I like this one. This is the only one I fully support so far. Unless you tell me he committed a very bad crime.
Now,
but,
what makes you like him? It seems like he might not take himself as seriously.
He looks like he like does and doesn't. Like, he looks like he's trying to fashion himself as an old-fashioned, straight-up comic book superhero.
Okay.
Like, he's not... Like, he just looks... Like, he's just... Again, I'm going off of vibes. He looks like he's someone who wants to help people but isn't, like, fixated on looking super tough because he does seem to get around on a Segway.
Mm-hmm. And he is taking a picture with just some guy who works for a company who ran into him on the street.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, purely going off vibes. I could be wrong. But if I was being followed by a shady man and Shadow Hair was on the street, I would run to Shadow Hair.
All right.
Yep. I would not run to either of the others you showed me.
he began his career as a real-life superhero in 2005. His activities were reported on the news with various articles and videos in the year 2009. As of 2012, there has been no reported activity from Shadowhair. It has been rumored that this is due to him joining the army. Regardless, he has stated privately that he is, quote, completely done and not coming back.
Did he say why?
No.
I'm sure he would be targeted by some people, which is a, yeah. I will say, like, if you want to be a superhero, instead of saying, like, my goal is to track down a serial killer and show him what we do to serial killers, which sounds like a major threat that you would be jailed for, you should focus on, like, helping old people cross the street. Helping, like, you should focus on doing good deeds. And if, God forbid, you ended up witnessing a crime in action, you know, do what is legal to do. But you should, like, you should tout yourself as a friend of your fellow citizen. You should not put, like, what you're going to do to bad people at the forefront. Because then you just seem, like, scary and, like, you like violence.
And also, like, you talk too much.
Well, yeah.
Lastly, now, listen, whether it's appropriate or not, I was like, I got to get a woman on here. There are female superheroes, but a lot of times they are hard to get information on. And even this one was difficult, but she had the best name. So we have Madame Moxie.
Ooh.
And Madame Moxie is both of the ladies that you see sort of in the picture here. One is
interesting.
One is her full costume. This one looks like, you know, it's a day out because she patrols San Diego alongside the Extreme. I say it that way because there's no E at the front. The Extreme Justice League.
Oh, my God. All those people are, like, real-life superheroes?
Yeah, yeah. We got Hot Flash.
Oh.
Madame Moxie. Rob Reeves. We'll get to him in a moment. And Kevlar Cat.
That's interesting. Rob Reeves looks like Bob the Builder.
Yeah,
and Madame Moxie, I don't know what she's going for. She looks like Katana from Mortal Kombat in one, and she looks like, I don't know, in the other one.
Okay, so she does TikToks on emergency medical care, and there's really not much to tell you about her.
That's cool, though. You know what?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That's really cool. Like, that is a woman who looks like she just wants to help people. She doesn't want to kill serial killers. So I think that's cool. Do you know about this whole team she's part of?
So she is part of a team, and oftentimes the team is greater than its parts. Mr. Extreme, who is now retired, founded the team in 2006. As part of their mission statement, they say, "We currently patrol around San Diego County, doing patrols anywhere from just north of the border to as far as LA on occasion. We do everything from standard crime patrols, large campaigns, public service announcements, community outreach, and homeless outreach."
And, see, this is how you do it. Also, some of them cover their faces a little bit, but not to a point where they look terrifying.
Yeah. COVID-19 did a lot for superheroes because a lot of them, not many that I showed you today, but a lot of them just have COVID masks on.
Yeah, man, she really looks like Katana. Not Katana. Melina? She looks like one of the Mortal Kombat masked people. I would, if I was in trouble, I would run to Madame Moxie or Rob Reeves, whose face is totally unobscured, which I appreciate.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. Well, yeah. So the current board president is Rob Reeves, who is formerly Knight, N-Y-G-H-T, and he is driven by one thing, to make the world a better place at any cost. He has military, police, emergency medical, public relations, martial arts, and psychology backgrounds.
That's awesome. Don't say at any cost.
Yeah.
Don't ever say that.
But that makes you seem like a superhero.
Yeah, or a vigilante. Like you're willing to kill someone. No, I mean, that's cool. I think these are the best people out of all of them.
Rob Reeves was Knight. And just one day on Facebook Live, he took off the mask and he said, "This is who I am and this is who I'm going to be from now on."
That's cool. Good for him. I think Wilkes-Barre needs a vigilante. But like a nice one, not a scary one that's going to kill people.
Of course. And I'm sorry, I don't have a picture. You can Google it if you want to. I'm going to stop sharing. I would be remiss if I did not mention Phoenix Jones, the most famous real-life superhero, simply because people love the rise and fall of a hero.
Oh, no.
Phoenix Jones wanted to fight crime, but not get mistaken for a criminal himself. He's black.
Okay. Oh,
so no. he wore a super suit, okay. And he patrolled Seattle, Washington, and was the leader of...
Am I being really sad?
No, you're not.
Okay, okay.
He was the leader of the Rain City superhero movement. Jones was inspired to take action. I think this is hilarious. Jones was inspired to take action when his car was broken into, and his son was injured when he fell on the broken glass.
Oh.
And I'm just like, why the hell did you bring your kid around the broken glass?
Yeah, okay.
Maybe that's one of the things you could do to be a hero. Stop throwing your kid in glass.
Yeah, that's interesting.
He also, at this point, stopped someone from getting beaten up because he caused a distraction, basically, until the police showed up.
See, okay, that's the way you do it. Your vigilantism should either be, I'm committed to calling the police ASAP, or I'm committed to distracting someone so the police can come. Again, police are a whole nother problem. But I don't think you should be saying, like, I'm going to do what it takes to stop that person, especially if, like, you're willing to kill a person. I don't think any vigilante should be killing people, which it seems like some of the ones you showed me are not.
Even Batman doesn't.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure he had that at some point, though.
Yeah, yeah. But Phoenix Jones wore a bulletproof vest and stab plating as part of his uniform. Do not say costume around Phoenix Jones.
Okay.
He also carries pepper spray, handcuffs, a stun gun, and, of course, a first aid kit.
See, that, you know what? His heart's probably in the right place. I don't hear the most, except for I'm sure those Avenger people, whatever's extreme, whatever's, they seem like people that would have first aid kits. Those people who look like they have had pipe bombs definitely don't have first aid kits.
He stopped other car thefts, you know, not his own, but others.
Cool.
He stopped a drunk man from driving one night.
That's
he
cool.
was charged with questionable use of pepper spray.
Oh,
but
yeah.
That was in his efforts to break up fights, prevent stabbings. And he alleges that he stopped the bombing of a Seattle courthouse when protesters were, I guess, sieging it.
Okay.
But as I said, it is the fall that captivates people. Seattle District Attorney Pete Holmes has called Jones a deeply misguided individual. On January 9th, 2020, Jones was arrested for allegedly selling MDMA to an undercover police officer.
What the fuck, bitch? Oh, this is annoying.
At the time of his arrest, police alleged that he and his accomplice were also in possession of about 4 grams of cocaine. An undercover agent... I love when we can call back to our original episodes, Marissa. At the time of his arrest, people allege that he and his accomplice, blah, 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 sorry. An undercover agent of the Seattle Police Department had sent Fodor, which is his real first name,
okay.
Or his real last name, $300 via Venmo prior to the deal. And then he brought another $200 to give him in person. And then he had an agreement for future deals.
God.
So... He told the podcast, The Superhero Complex, though, that it wasn't his, and it was a corrupt police force that was going after him.
Okay, I mean, whatever. But yeah, okay, if he was selling drugs, then fuck him. I was so afraid this was going to end with, like, cops doing bad things to him because he's a person of color. But I'm glad that if he was in trouble, it's because he was an idiot. I looked him up. That's a commitment to a costume, man.
Yeah. So his name is Benjamin John Francis Fodor. And he, after, I guess, kind of bottoming out in the superhero business, he turned to MMA. And I think that intersects with when he was arrested and things like that.
So he wasn't technically Phoenix Joe. I mean, not that that makes it okay.
Yeah, yeah. I guess maybe he was out of costume, weirder. If that's what you mean.
Would have been weirder, yeah, if he was in costume selling MDMA.
So, at this point, I'm sure that I sold you on the idea of being a real-life superhero. What can you do to get started? There's no better way than to learn in school. In 2019, Thrillist reported, reported about a superhero school. We believe that every human being has an innate specialty, something that makes them extraordinary. Dr. TJ... I haven't said this out loud yet. Quensa.
Ooh, okay.
Dr. TJ Quensa, a martial artist and the founder and director of the Superhero Foundry, which is a modified warehouse west of the Las Vegas Strip that teaches students of all ages to channel their inner crime fighter. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. You can't do that. Because they went out of business.
It
looks like before they went out of business, it turned into like an axe throwing place.
Oh god.
So you could find an online course.
Can't you just go to martial arts training? Can't you?
That could teach you martial arts, but not how to be a superhero. Here's what you need to do. You need to look up Bone Fist on YouTube and watch his series How to Become a Real Life Superhero.
I'm pretty sure I don't want to watch that.
The other thing you could do is check out the Real Life Superhero Manual. That'll give you some tips. Here's a couple of excerpts. Real life superheroes are not, capital N-O-T, cosplayers, due to the facts that real life superheroes do not simulate a fictional character, rather they are representing themselves. And B, real life superheroes serve more of a purpose than to dress up and socialize.
I mean, I agree that if you want to be called a superhero, you need to be more than dress up and socialize. I disagree that you cannot dress up as a fictional character while also being a superhero. If you save my life and you dress as Sailor Moon, so what? I don't go like, think again, you're not a superhero.
You save my life and you're dressed like Freddy Krueger. Still, like, that's fine.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
There are also sections called How to Avoid Getting Shot by a Police Officer. And,
oh, no!
And How to Make a Citizen's Arrest. There are also links to various places where you can start building your costume, like ExtremeDesignFX.com, which is a website that looks like it was made in the early 90s, but that's a place where you can get a cowl, you can get some like chest wear, some pants, that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
You can also get a lot of specialized costume pieces from Etsy. Just look up terms like superhero armor, and then you'll be on your way.
Okay. Superhero armor, I'm looking that up right now. I think that if you want to be a superhero, you should focus all of your efforts on de-escalation tactics, and that's it.
Yes, you and that's should, a lot of what Rob Reeves does. Because Rob Reeves, after superheroing for a bit, he went back to school for counseling and psychology, and pretty sure he finished school by now. And so that's like another thing that he can put into play.
I hope he doesn't do something horrible that is terrible, because I like him currently purely based off of what Pete told me. I do not know him outside of this podcast.
If you want to know more about them, it looks like he is the guy who's pretty much running the Extreme Justice League's Instagram. And they have, you know, some pictures of them doing a lot of community outreach and things like that. There's another guy called Good Samaritan. I learned about so many real life superheroes, I want to die. But different ones who are like, oh, I haven't been on patrol in a while, it feels good to be back, and different things like that. But I think COVID really put a damper on people's superhero efforts. But again, it really did raise the awareness of wearing masks.
Yeah. Oh, man, the Extreme Justice League. Their outfits. Looking at a lot of pictures of their outfits, sure. That sure is entertaining.
But
it seems like they're really into like homeless outreach, which is really cool.
the thing that I like about them is that they go outside of what I told you to look for before. They are not wearing all black and everything like that, like Kevlar Cat is, but whatever.
Yeah, no, I agree. I really think the people wearing all black need to reassess how scary they look.
Oh, did you see the picture of him? Of them at the Paw Patrol movie?
Oh, wait, no!
A lot of them do the hang 10 sign, and that makes me want to puke.
Yeah, they seem very adorable and, like, kind of corny and, like, really hard to hate because they're just so adorable. Oh, I do see them at the Paw Patrol now. They do, like, cleanup. They like, trash pickup.
Well, somebody
somebody
had an instance where they it was a person and, you know, somebody, like reposted it or something to their page, but it was, like, the person had called, you know, like, whoever was supposed to be in charge to talk about how somebody dumped, like, a lot of glass and broken things on the beach and that it could be dangerous for people, and they didn't come out and do anything. And then she, like, put something out on social media, and the Extreme Justice League saw it, and they immediately mobilized and picked up all the stuff.
That's cool. See, so, yeah, if you want to be a superhero...
But they have to be on social media to do that, Marissa.
Yeah, okay. I'm glad to see at least some group seems to be doing it the right way. Like, if you want to be a superhero, don't go from 0 to 100. Don't go from 0 to I'm going to get the serial killer. Just look for actual actionable ways to help your community, like picking up trash or giving homeless people food or I don't know, getting a fucking cat from a tree. That was cliche, but you know what I mean.
You could also donate to the Extreme Justice League because they are a nonprofit, an officially recognized nonprofit organization.
Oh, okay. That's cool. So out of everyone, if you were in trouble, who would you run towards?
I would run towards Kevlar Cat.
Oh, I guess I meant you could say the Extreme Justice League. I didn't mean you needed to give me a specific person.
I mean, the only person who doesn't look like they're going to scare the shit out of you is the Extreme Justice League.
Yeah, okay.
But it's what's fascinating about it is it's like any subculture that you can jump into. You know, you start to read about the little schisms that happen between groups of people. There are some people who don't ask me how I found a podcast that wasn't by iHeartRadio. The iHeartRadio one is Superhero Complex. But there was a completely separate one where people interviewed one of the superheroes, and that guy was just like, man, that Phoenix Jones, he's a fucking joke. He just wants to showboat, and he just wants attention and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, like, it's just fun when you sort of find those little, you know, carved out spots on the internet where you get to go, wow, look at how these people are interacting with each other.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure there's so much petty drama. Amazing. I love it.
Oh, I forgot to tell you. Oh, shit. I'm so sorry. It should be no surprise to you. Tell me if I did tell you this already, but Tothion ended up, I don't want to say becoming, but it came to light, I'll say.
A villain?
Through blog posts that Tothion is, he comes across as like a very fundamentalist Christian.
Oh, okay.
His superpower now seems to be God.
That's not a power. Okay.
And he has an arch nemesis who
devil?
Is called the Brooklyn Devil. But Facebook deactivated the Brooklyn Devil, so it's hard to find him now, which takes you down a different route, and then you end up finding a guy called, I think it's that guy, Dinesh. And then there's this guy out there named that guy, Dinesh, who goes around and posts videos that other people send him of people being horrible. One is just this guy who's screaming at a woman and calling her the N-word. Another one is a cop who is...
And what is he trying to achieve?
I think the idea is like, well, we put this out there, and then people are going to know this person, and people are going to shame this person.
Okay.
Which I don't know if that counts as justice, but...
Oh, yeah, there's an account that I follow, but then I feel conflicted. I'm not going to promote it, because I don't know how I feel about it. But it's an account for women who live in Philadelphia, where you report anonymously, like if there's a guy who's masturbating on a street and you're warning women, or if there's a guy who just like punched someone in the head, and they usually put screenshots, and normally, and honestly, like my neighborhood in Philly was having a lot of problems. So sometimes I found it a little bit helpful to know, like, if there was a guy known to punch people in the face on 20th Street next to the CVS. However, recently they posted one where someone said they had a really scary interaction with an Uber Eats delivery man, because the man was like lingering by her house, and she was like, he was lingering there clearly to like kidnap me. And like everyone in the comments was just like, it just sounds like he was standing there probably like, looking for his next order or something. How are you assuming he was there to kidnap you?
Especially if you're an Uber Eats person, you're kind of like, you have to get your next job.
Yeah, you like always need to like linger outside someone's house for a while. And like the poster was like, oh, I reported them to Uber Eats, and Uber Eats said they would take care of it. And I'm just like, oh man, this is getting weaponized to a yucky degree. Yes. So I understand that those accounts sometimes have the right idea. But, like, it gets sometimes yucky because some people's actions can be misinterpreted as shady, and they're not always.
I can't say for sure that the guy is a cop, but there's one where a man with a badge on him is getting soda from a fountain machine, and he calls a woman the N-word.
Oh.
And then she starts recording.
Okay.
And she gets him to say it again, twice.
Oh, okay.
But she goes, this man ran into my plate and knocked my food on the floor. And I'm like, is that...
Ran into your plate?
Is that what's going on?
The N-word?
And then towards the end, he says something like, you're a N-word piece of trash. And, she goes, oh, I am, and then the video stops. And I'm like, I wonder what happened after that.
Yeah, whoa. But yeah, like someone running into your plate is not a reason to record them.
Right.
Oh, yeah. I used to – someone used to send me Instagram videos from a Karen account and be like, look how wild this is. Mm-hmm. And then I like went on the account. And, like, you know, some of them were, like, unhinged ladies doing crazy, horrible things. And then some of them, you couldn't tell who was at fault, because you could tell, like, the one person was like, fuck this person. This person, like, looked at me wrong. And this person was like, you looked at me wrong. And, like, it's just, like, it just, the person taking the video has control of the narrative.
Yeah.
And so, obviously, again, that guy was racist in what you're telling me. But that whole, like, video, like taking video of someone who's doing something wrong, it's just very, it makes me nervous, because like the person doing the recording could have a narrative that's really not true. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, people with their cameras really terrify me.
And that's the thing, I'm not condoning this man's behavior, but also there are different things that could incense someone to exhibit that behavior. Like, if he's using this word as a word of aggression, what caused him to be aggressive in the first place? I guess that's kind of what I'm... Like, a lot of them are traffic violations and, like, people cutting people off, and it's like, I don't know what I would say.
Yeah.
That's why I keep the windows up.
Yeah.
I'm not using racial slurs, guys.
It's so interesting. Yeah. I remember, I was at Sam's Club a while ago, and there was a lady backing out of her parking space, and I was walking behind her, and I kept walking because she was backing out, but she was so far from me that like there was no danger of her hitting me. And she rolled down her window and started cursing out me and my husband, like, what the fuck you think you're doing? Don't you see me? Don't you see me backing out? And I'm just like, if I was like crazy, I could have started recording this lady, and then this lady could have started recording me, and then it just would have been like, what? I don't know. So yeah, everyone is just intense anymore.
Let's get some flex. Let's get some flex. Let's get some flex.
So you got anything to plug?
plug. Do you have something while I think? I forgot to think of a plug.
I do, but I think that I'm going to distract you from thinking about a plug.
Okay.
Because I wanted to plug the current run of Wonder Woman. I've never really been a Wonder Woman person. But
what current one run? What is Wonder? Oh, you mean a comic book?
Yeah.
Oh, I was like, there's a Wonder Woman show? Okay.
It's been really fun. And the art's really good. Like, just, and it's like about acceptance and things like that. And, you know, she comes from this culture that's not really accepting. And she's helping people in America. America's also not really accepting. And so,
yeah.
It was really interesting. But I would skip the 8th issue. Because the 8th issue is the one that just came out. And it's a villain puts Wonder Woman in sort of like a mental spell, so to speak, where she is a 1950s housewife. And they're like trying to break her spirit so that she'll behave like a 1950s housewife.
Okay.
And they use biblical quotes throughout the whole entire thing to subjugate women. And I'm just like, this doesn't... And a lot of people who were upset by it were radical Christians, which of course then just kind of like, okay, now we can't have a conversation about
that. yeah.
But aside from that, it's been going pretty cool.
Okay. Yeah, I was actually just talking about that with someone today, how technically I consider myself a Christian, but quietly, and I don't really tell anyone because Christianity these days is like unhinged in a lot of circles. So I feel like if I say I'm a Christian, everyone's going to assume I like am pro, like I am not pro-choice and that I love guns, which that has nothing to do with anything. Like all sorts of weird shit. Anyway. People
did sort of jump from, they're using the Bible, they're presenting the Bible as a tool of the patriarchy, and that it's anti-American, and right there I was just like, what just happened? How did you go from anti-Christian to anti-American? Like, how do you guys do that?
Yeah, that's really annoying. That is really annoying, because I could totally understand I agree with the patriarchal argument.
Because you could say that America was founded on Christianity, but also, like, you wore teeny tiny pants when you were a baby, and you grew out of them.
And America was supposed to be, like, a place where you had freedom of religion also. Yeah. So, like, shut the fuck up. I'm going to plug...
MILF Manor?
Oh, shit, I didn't watch it yet. Yeah! Guys, there's a new season of MILF Manor that came out, yesterday now, but not yesterday when this comes out. I don't know how it's going to differ from the original season of MILF Manor, which got tricky.
It looked like a lot of MILFs, but they didn't mention anything about the sons.
So I know that there's going to be men, but I have a feeling they're not going to be dating.
Ooh, but maybe
from
they'll bring their sons in later.
I have a feeling that it got too weird and gross and awkward the first season. So my guess is that this time, the guys dating the MILFs are not the sons of the MILFs, which was what was so fucked up and convoluted about MILF Manor 1, that the women showed up with their sons thinking that something else was going to go down. And then it was like, hey, ladies, the sons you just brought, that's your dating pool. And I do feel like almost nobody hooked up, probably because their moms were always like next to them.
Yeah.
So like MILF Manor season 1 ended up pretty unsatisfying. So good call. I'm glad you reminded me. I haven't done Patreon content for a while. I think I will review MILF Manor season 2. Just episode 1, I mean. Not the whole season.
Of course, yes.
Yeah. Guys, thank you for listening. You can give us a call anytime at 570-POD-WAD-1, or you can email us at
yallheardpod@gmail.com.
And as always, feel free to slide into my DMs at wristbandle.
And slide into our website, and our Patreon, and anywhere else you slide. Okay, everybody, stay safe out there. Bye.
Bye. Yeah. Bye.